time now for the Border News Roundup. Friday mornings at this time, we get a chance to check in with Marshall Helmberger, publisher, editor of The Timberjanes, a newspaper serving northeastern Minnesota. Well, good morning, Marshall. Thanks for being here.
Well, happy to be here, Heidi.
Well, let's start out with something that happened earlier this week. It's a PolyMet decision, or having to do with PolyMet. Reorient us a little bit. PolyMet is the proposed copper nickel mine near Hoyt Lakes. Is that right?
Correct. Yep. And they have been struggling in the courts here for some time. Mostly, I would say, because of the permitting that's been issued either by the Department of Natural Resources or the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. And this week, it was a decision by the Court of Appeals on an air quality permit that was issued by the MPCA. And the Court of Appeals remanded this permit back to the MPCA for further proceedings. And this actually, we thought that PolyMet had maybe had a victory on this one about 5 months ago, because the state Supreme Court had handed the company and the MPCA kind of a partial victory in the same case, when it determined that the MPCA had no obligation to investigate whether PolyMet was engaged in so-called sham permitting by seeking an air permit for a substantially smaller project than what they actually intended to build. But at the same time, the Supreme Court handed this back, handed some other questions back to the Court of Appeals. And that's what the Court of Appeals ruled on this time. And they were wondering, in part, whether the among the questions was whether the MPC erred by refusing to consider a technical report which PolyMet had released shortly after the close of public comments on this air permit. And that technical report indicated, or certainly suggested, that the company was looking at possibly building a much larger project than what they had originally proposed. The one they had originally looked at, and the one that the permit has been approved for, is a 32,000 ton per day operation. But this technical report, which did include financial projections, indicated that the 32,000 ton per day project would be only marginally economical, but that at a higher throughput, it could be two or three times as much per day in terms of, you know, tonnage, that the company would achieve a higher level of profitability. So there was concern that possibly PolyMet was trying to pull a fast one on the MPCA. And so the appeals court said that there probably should be some more explanation on that, and they wanted a better clarification from the MPCA about, you know, why they felt that this wasn't an issue. They said at this point they think the MPCA, you know, could still get this permit right, but they said as it is right now, there's not enough evidence that they've provided to back up some of their decisions, and so they want a clearer explanation. And they also wanted the MPCA to provide more evidence that PolyMet had been forthcoming in the permitting process. They noted that that this technical report certainly raised some questions about that, and so they said they want more explanation. And you know, the Court of Appeals could have simply reversed the permit, which, you know, would have essentially thrown the permit out, forcing the MPCA to, you know, basically start from scratch. But in this case, they decided to just remand it, which means the agency will have, you know, in a certain period of time in which it can develop some additional findings and provide some more explanation. And so in the end, this permit could still, you know, be approved, albeit with some additional changes.
So one of many setbacks over the years, correct?
Well, it is. Yeah, I mean, I think there's in total there are four major permits for this project that are you know, have either been remanded for further proceedings or are suspended or have been reversed. So, I mean, it's, yeah, the MPCA, the DNR, and PolyMet, none of them have really fared particularly well in the courts, at least to date. So there's lots of further machinations, I would say, on this whole process. This is going to go on potentially for years still.
Yeah, I suppose there's not even any way that they can predict when when this could happen, right? I mean, because there's still a lot to go through still?
There certainly is, yep.
Okay. Well, let's move on to the Boundary Waters. How are people visiting? Are fires affecting anything? What's happening there?
Well, the fires are definitely affecting things in the Boundary Waters. In fact, the Forest Service over the weekend announced that they are closing a significant portion of the Boundary Waters, and this is basically the kind of the northwestern portion of the Boundary Waters. This would be from basically Basswood Lake, which is just kind of north of Ely, all the way west to the western end of the Boundary Waters over by Crane Lake. So it's about a 30-mile stretch along the border there, which is now closed. And it's because of fires not really in the Boundary Waters, but up in the Quetico. There are at least, in fact, as of yesterday, there were 7 active fires in the Quetico. And some of them are quite large. They are, you know, up in the 5,000-acre range, some of these fires. And they're burning, 3 of them are burning quite close to the border. One of them started almost right on the border. It was on the north side of Crooked Lake. And that one's now up to about close to 5,000 acres. And there's 2 others to the east of there. And, you know, they're not really being, there's no active efforts to extinguish them. The Canadian authorities are monitoring and mapping these fires, but at this point, you know, that's all they're doing. I mean, the northwestern Ontario has more than 100 fires currently burning. So the Canadians certainly have their hands full this year. And so, you know, a few fires burning in a wilderness area for them right now is just not a high priority. They've got communities, remote communities in the, you know, well to the north that are being threatened by fires. So that's where they're kind of focusing their resources. And but, you know, on the U.S. side, of course, the Forest Service is quite concerned about the situation. You certainly could have a major outbreak if you had some, you know, problematic weather. You know, I think it was that Pagami Creek fire back in 2011 that I think is really, it does make the Forest Service nervous when they look at the situation here, because they've got a number of fires that now have substantial fire fronts. And, you know, all it takes is a day where you get, you know, high winds, low humidity, and they could be off to the races with, a major explosion of any of these fires. Because that's certainly what they saw with Pagami. You know, that fire kind of burned and for about a month before it took off. So that could certainly happen here, and that could threaten, you know, the Boundary Waters, and that's why they decided to close off that significant portion just to ensure that they would not have to try to deal with evacuations, you know, when in an emergency situation. They wanted to get people out of that area, so if they are threatened, you know, so they have plenty of time essentially to get out of there before any real serious conditions would be created. So anyway, at this point, it's become a huge issue for outfitters, of course, mostly in the Ely area. They are having cancellations. And they had been having a fantastic season. This has actually been, for most outfitters in Ely, this has been the best year they've ever had. But now this fire situation is certainly complicating things for them. And part of the problem is, I mean, normally if you get a closure like this, you can usually, juggle things around a little bit, find some new entry points for folks, you know, modify their trips a little bit. In this case, you know, it's such a large area that's closed, it's harder to do that. Plus, getting a permit, even a canoe permit for the Boundary Waters right now is very, very difficult. In fact, there's some days where there's really no permits available for overnight canoe camping, which is, you know, pretty unusual. I mean, oftentimes there are, you know, there's no permits available for popular entry points, but, you know, in the past you've always been able to get, you know, a permit for a lesser used entry, but not this year. They were already having a tremendous usage in the Boundary Waters, and now, of course, with this closure, that's going to concentrate people even more in areas that are open. So so it's definitely a struggle right now for outfitters to try to adjust to that situation.
Well, let's stay on the topic of weather. I know you keep on top of the drought situation. What do you know from this week?
Well, we have every Thursday the U.S. Drought Monitor comes out with their updated map, and I know a lot of folks who track this are always looking at the Drought Monitor map, and I certainly do myself. This Thursday, the information was kind of what we expected, which is that the most of northern Minnesota now is either in severe or extreme drought. And that's it's certainly intensified in the last week. I think, you know, the hot weather we had last weekend and the week before, and the lack of any real significant rain certainly has amped up the drought situation. I know in St. Louis County here, we go from moderate drought down around the Duluth area to severe drought over the northern two-thirds, and then the northwesternmost corner of St. Louis County is now in extreme drought, and most of Coochaching County is in extreme drought, and you know, Beltrami is almost all extreme right now, Lake of the Woods County. So you know, we're in kind of the worst drought conditions we've had in probably at least a decade here in Minnesota. So it's definitely a concern. And, of course, it's early yet. I mean, a lot of times our driest part of the summer is, you know, more into August and early September. And, you know, that's when we tend to get some fire conditions that are of risk. But right now we're in the thick of it. And we're still, you know, mid-July here, really. So this is quite early for this, and you know, we could have potentially weeks of pretty significant fire danger here, depending on the conditions day to day. You know, we were helped a little bit this week, I think, by the cloud cover and the cooler temperatures, and you know, spotty rains. But it looks like next week we're going to be back to the sunshine and highs in the 80s, and so my guess is we're going to, our fire danger is going to ramp right back up again.
I'm watching the air quality index a lot. How about you?
Definitely. You know, it was really interesting. Actually, the New York Times had an interactive satellite image of the smoke all over the U.S., and it was really interesting. And there were some days where northern Minnesota was the worst, you know, in the whole country for smoke. So we have been, anytime we have a northerly flow right now, that with all those fires in northwestern Ontario, that smoke just comes right down over our region anytime we have a northerly wind.
Yeah. Well, here's a kind of another weather-related story that we'll end with this morning. Blueberry Festival. First, are there any blueberries, and will the festival go on?
There are basically no blueberries from what I've seen. You can find a few little BBs out there that appear to be blue, but no, it's pretty much a bust. This drought has made sure of that. So people won't be celebrating being able to go out and pick blueberries this year, but they can celebrate the concept of blueberries, I guess. It, of course, is always Ely's biggest event of the summer. So any excuse for party, I guess, works. If you haven't been to the Blueberry Festival, you really should check it out sometime. There's over 200 vendors and lots of good stuff. It's a juried show, so you get some pretty high quality, arts and crafts there at the festival. It takes place in Whiteside Park in downtown Ely, and there's lots of food too. That's the other reason I like to go there. All kinds of different food trucks, so you have your choice of whatever you want to eat, and it's a good time. And And be prepared for the crowds, though. And I bet it's going to really be crowded because last year, of course, they didn't hold it because of COVID. So this will be the first time now in 2 years that they've been able to hold it. And I suspect it's going to be very crowded.
And that's today through Sunday, is that right?
That's correct.
It's Marshall Helmberger. This has been the Border News Roundup. You can read and see more at their website. It's timberjay.com. Have a great weekend, Marshall.
Sounds great. Thanks, Heidi.
Yep. Bye-bye. Two for the poison and the roots. Three for the children.